You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Last July, I traveled to Colorado to attend the Nyingma Summer Seminar with the Mangala Shri Budhi Buddhist community. This community was set up by Zigar Khonchol Rinpoche and his wife and student, and my teacher, Elizabeth Mattis Namgyel. Elizabeth invited me to attend NSS back in 2014 as a way for us to meet face-to-face, as we had only had phone conversation and email correspondence at that point. So I went to Colorado to meet my teacher in person, and the added bonus of the trip was that Anupama Chodron was teaching as well. You may have heard of her. I kind of mention her in almost every single episode. It was, as you can imagine, a really significant trip, but not just because I got to see my two most influential teachers. I also got to do my Bodhisattva vow. Now, I have wanted to take this vow for well over 5 years. Pretty much since the third time that I read through No Time to Lose, which is Pema's commentary on the Bodhicharavatara. So it was a really significant and a wonderful experience after waiting so long. All the more so because along with my fiancé, now wife, the two teachers that I respect and admire and have connected with the most were also present. So, at this point, some of you might be asking what the Bodhisattva vow is. Or even more specifically, what is a bodhisattva? And so you should. My favorite definition of what a bodhisattva is comes from the first teaching of Elizabeth that I ever heard. This is when she spoke at the Walk the Walk retreat I attended in the Omega Center in New York. The retreat was led by Pema, but one evening Elizabeth gave a teaching. Now, I didn't attend the actual night that she taught, but I did listen to it later in the recording that I got of the weekend, and almost everything Elizabeth had to say resonated with me, which was why I asked her if I could be her student. Anyway, during the Walk the Walk retreat, Elizabeth gave a talk on the practice of bearing witness, and she used a bodhisattva as an example of someone who is always willing to bear witness. And so she explains that a bodhisattva is someone whose means of awakening comes through serving others, but at the same time, the bodhisattva knows that the world is not a fixable place. I love this description so much because it encompasses everything I've come to understand about the commitment to be a bodhisattva and why I took the vow. But I also appreciate that it probably needs some unpacking. I want to unpack it because regardless of your belief system, anyone can be a bodhisattva, and the world can never have too many bodhisattvas. To be a bodhisattva is to cultivate compassion for all sentient beings, to act in such a way as to be of benefit to others. But a bodhisattva is also wise enough to know that painful aspects of life can't be gotten rid of or transcended. Pema speaks about this in pretty much all of her teachings. She's always saying, we can't transcend our experience, and we don't have to. Right where we are, with whatever is going on, we have everything we need to wake up. And by wake up, I mean to let go of habitual patterns that lead to suffering, to let life touch us without shutting down around the things that we don't like. What has always appealed to me about Anupama's teachings, and why I felt an instantaneous connection to Elizabeth when I first listened to her talk about bearing witness, is the message that there is nothing wrong with us. We are all capable of showing up for ourselves, the world, and all of our experience, just as we are and just as life is. We don't need to reject our experience, and in fact, rejecting our experience is actually what causes suffering. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is a choice. A bodhisattva knows that suffering doesn't come about because of the difficult things that we face. Suffering comes about from rejecting or resisting these difficulties, from trying to fix our experience, as if we could press pause at a point and then everything would be going our way and would just stay stuck, fixed, like that. I've said this many times before in this podcast. Life is unpredictable. Life happens. People get sick. People age. People die. Accidents happen. Natural disasters occur. Unexpected things pop up and alter our future forever. That's just life. It's not fair or unfair. It just is. To be a bodhisattva is to bear witness to that. To understand the ever-changing, unpredictable nature of the human experience. To appreciate the interconnectedness of everything. And then, with discernment and wisdom, also called prajna in Tibetan Buddhism, to act skillfully according to this very nature of unpredictability. Qualification here. This doesn't mean bodhisattvas are up on some cloud where life doesn't touch them. It doesn't mean that they don't get upset, or that they don't feel pain, or hurt, or disappointment. Bodhisattvas show up for that pain, and the pain of others, without rejecting it. A bodhisattva recognizes that sadness is very human. Anger is very human. Fear is very human. And they also see that some things just can't ever be fixed, and that we can't bring the world to some perfect standstill in which everyone is joyful and doesn't feel grief or anger or fear or sadness or all those things. To be a bodhisattva is to be incredibly big. To be big enough for everything life gives us. Every single experience. Being big enough for our experience means being able to accommodate the unexpected with grace, good humor, and curiosity. To be a bodhisattva is to show up for yourself or others when strong emotions are happening and allow space for them. To let someone cry when they need to cry and just sit there with them, give them a hug, tell them they get to have space for how they feel. A bodhisattva does not take on the other person's emotional state, but empathizes with it and conveys to the other person that they are seen. How they feel is being seen. And it's okay. Bodhisattvas acknowledge that uncomfortable emotions are not flaws. Instead of seeing ourselves or others as messed up and flawed for feeling fearful or angry or depressed, the bodhisattva sees human. All of this really makes me think of a brilliant video by Will Wheaton, who is a great example of a bodhisattva. He's talking about being diagnosed with manic depression and finally getting treatment. There's a link in the description for the show. He totally turns human into a verb, and I love it. I like when people verb words. He says he was learning how to human. We could all learn how to human a little better. How to see beyond our tiny universe, to see that we all go through the whole gamut of emotions available to us, because human. We all get to have a full life rich with experience, because human. We all get to make the choice as to how much we are willing to work with our own mind, which we can all do, because human. The more we human, the more we will see that we are big enough for our life, for all of it. The messiness, and the joy, and the wonder, and everything that's unpredictable and uncomfortable. To be fully human is to be a bodhisattva. You don't have to be a Buddhist or take a vow to become a bodhisattva. It's something I did because the vow for me reinforced my intention, which, as you know from episode 1, is really important for me. So, you can join the bodhisattvas without taking a vow. Just by cultivating compassion, allowing for your humanness and the humanness of others, and acting in such a way as to be of benefit to all sentient beings, with patience, generosity, kindness, immense kindness. With all of these things, you will find that you are capable of being very big indeed. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.